You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Trick or treat, you're going to get 6 coins for UNICEF.
You're going to get Maple Leaf hot takes.
Could you imagine?
That's what I'm giving out this year.
You start to say, like, hey, just so you know, Matthews is going to get 50 this year. Tell your dad. Move along.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We've got to get Overdrive hoodies like Major League Baseball. You know how they have those playoff hoodies where it's like, do damage or take, what like they have their own slogan.
What would ours say?
I don't know.
Why would we want a hoodie?
Just the Overdrive logo. What's our slogan?
We should have a slogan. We don't have one.
Take it deep.
Could be. Something
Peel hard.
What is it?
Peel hard.
No, that's a little...
Something gritty, like, yeah. I don't know.
Dig in.
Even if we have them, though, we're not going to wear them.
No.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we can. We can wear them. I'll get them made. We got to come up with a slogan. Overdrive, blank, blank. Like, what is ours?
All right.
Like, you don't like dig in?
That's Mike Babcock. He's like, you got to dig in. Malls, what do you got? Nothing?
Feed.
Feed? Just feed?
Let's feed.
Just in quotation marks?
Just feed. I am
That's
Groot.
Not a bad one.
Feed. Yeah, something like that. I guess we can open it up to the people if
Did
they want to...
There's no way you couched and fed yesterday.
Actually, yesterday afternoon,
oh,
I did.
Had the monsters over there.
I had the opportunity. I had my nephews over for about 48 hours. They got dropped off Friday around noon, and my sister-in-law, brother-in-law picked them up around noon yesterday. So we had 48 hours of a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old. But we survived. We went to the zoo on Saturday. A couple of grit grinders.
On a busy Saturday, you went to the zoo?
Dude, you have to have something. You got to get out of the house.
I know.
You got to have a plan. Where else am I going to go?
Candyland or something, like one of these like indoor play places.
The zoo is perfect, though. You know why the zoo is perfect? Because there's something new to get their attention every 20 or 30 feet.
Oh, look at the giraffe.
Hey, there's the tiger. Let's go see the giraffe now.
There's a rhino having a moose.
Exactly. Now let's go see the zebra.
Never seen a moose that big. Done.
Exactly.
Out.
And then let's go see the penguins, and then it's the polar bears, and before you know it, you're out.
The rhino taking a moose.
Oh, just abs. They can take a moose.
Full credit to the zoo, though. It's greasy, but it's a brilliant move in terms of making more money, because it's already a bit of a gouge. You know, you got to pay, like everything else, which is fine. Yeah. But there's a carousel right at the end of the whole routine, right? Because you go through the path.
Petting zoo?
No, it's like a carousel where the kids sit on it and they go around.
Okay, yeah, okay.
You know, so it's like the one last little gouge.
Right, exactly. Like right when you're at the
bucks.
Exit. It's exactly like, what it
no
is.
No more rhinos. No, I want to go on the carousel. Thank you. Here, 12 bucks each.
12 bucks.
Go on it.
And there you have to walk by it when you're walking in so the kids see it and they say, I want to go on that.
You say later.
And then you say, if you're good, then you can go on at the end. And guess what happens at the end?
I always found that, you know what the biggest racket is? And I think it's... To me, it's a bit of a farce. It's you being on the ride, and there's a picture. Like, somehow they've taken a picture.
That's Wonderland.
You get off, and they want sell you the picture. Mm-hmm. For $25, we've got a framed picture of you, you know...
Reacting to
crapping
a crazy
your pants
part
on
of the ride.
On the
you know what's interesting about
roller coaster.
That, though?
Yeah.
Putting the employee, who doesn't want to be there anyway, in a tough spot because you get your phone out and try to take a picture of their picture and watch their routine. They actually are obligated, based on the park, to tell you that you can't do that. But you're sitting there and you're like, what are you going to do? I'm taking the picture right now.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? They're not going to throw you out of the park.
What if they grabbed your phone?
Well, what they try to do is get it off the screen. They hit a button and then it comes off the screen and it's two other idiots who are in the photo all of a sudden, and why would you want that picture? But you're right. You're sitting there, you're like, why would I pay you? It's up there and I'm just going to snap a pic and now I have it on my iPhone. But it's always a racket.
I never.
That's the Wonderland.
You go
Wonderland
up like
way.
These mountain rides, like Banff and in Whistler, like out west, they get you as you're going in these gondolas or whatever. And then on the way out, I don't want a picture with 4 other people that I don't know. Like, if you're just a, if you're just a couple going up, a lot of times there's four other people in the gondola with you. I don't want a shot with them.
I know.
I don't know them.
No. And everyone's got their own phone. They're taking selfies up there anyway.
Yeah,
what do I
ridiculous.
Need another picture for?
I'll tell you what. If I'm going to the zoo and paying those prices, I want to see like a tiger or a lion eat.
We saw that. Three cheetahs eating. Like it was...
What did they eat?
I don't know. Pieces of steak or something. But it was legit. They were out there like mucking away on some steak.
Really?
But it's not the real, it's not like they chased the thing down. You know, that's what I'd really like
they
to see.
They just threw it in there.
Yeah, open it up and let's see those cheetahs really put in some work.
Yeah, put a fake something running around with pieces of meat hanging off it and get it and eat it.
It is kind of morbid though when you're when like say whatever a snake you feed it like a rat.
Yeah. It is like, it's a really strange process.
And, you know, you watch the snake like eat the rat.
You know what's weird is eating food at the zoo.
You're eating a chicken finger.
Yeah, you're walking around with like a hot dog, and you're like,
"There's like
kind of weird." But
it's like a pig walking around. You got a bacon sandwich.
Yeah,
like that's
it's like there's the pigs, and I'm crushing like a bacon sandwich.
No, no.
It's really
if
weird.
I'm eating anything, and I pass the rhino having a dump, I'm pole vaulting my food into the garbage can. I can't.
Well, you don't lock eyes with it, do you? But you turn away.
I'm not doing it.
I hate to break it to you. You can't control what the rhino is going to do.
Just a nice chili cheese dog. The rhino is just having a deuce. Thank you. Done. I'm out. Like, kids, let's go. Let's go shopping. Let's go to Yorkdale.
But he's saying the same thing. I'm trying to take a dump here, and there's some donkey behind the glass staring at me.
Like, leave me alone. What's your problem?
Anyway.
So that was my weekend. I'm out of here at 7 o'clock this evening, so I think we need to brace ourselves. William Nylander will be signed. I guarantee you by 4 p.m. tomorrow he gets signed.
I think you're disappointed in your move. We talked about it off-air, but your move should have been... When is the actual wedding?
The wedding is Friday. It's a Friday wedding.
And you're going in Tuesday night.
Well, hang on a second here. You always... I mean, Scotty Mack got his tires fixed on a Thursday, which you said, why can't you get your tires fixed
on a Saturday?
I didn't say that. What are you talking about? When did I say that Scotty Mack needs to get his tires fixed?
When are you on record
what
saying
do I
that?
Care about
no, but everybody has these different things where it's like, hang on, you're getting your tires fixed. What about after the show? So if the wedding's on Friday?
Yeah.
What the hell do you need to leave on a Tuesday for?
Got to get acclimated. He's flying Tuesday night.
Couple of things. We're flying
you
Tuesday night.
You could legit leave after the show on Thursday, late night flight, and you get into the wedding.
No, because I'll take you through the itinerary. Not that anybody cares. It's actually like an hour outside of London. We're meeting on the Thursday with the couple, and we're
rehearsal
doing the meet
dinner,
and greet, the rehearsal thing.
Are you in the wedding party?
No, but it's a small wedding. And we're all flying over. So the wedding
So you're not in the rehearsal dinner then?
No. But dude, it's not London, Ontario. It's 5 hours ahead. You're flying overnight.
Plus he's allowed to take time. This guy worked all summer. He's allowed to take time off.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Noodles.
And I will say this. I want you to go. You know why I want you to go?
Why is that?
Because I want something to happen with the Leafs.
Yeah, something's going to happen. I guarantee it. Like, I don't know if it's definitely going to happen between now and 4 p.m. tomorrow. But at some point, like I am legitimately rattled that they're playing Winnipeg both times.
I know those
I'm
are going to be really good
those
games.
Those are my games, man. We talked about this last week with Pittsburgh in town, and we were debating, you know, what is your go-to list in terms of tickets.
Yeah.
McDavid is number one. Winnipeg is a strong number two.
For sure.
I think we saw them live last year.
We did, and they put on a clinic. Yeah. They played really well. They dominated the Leafs. But I would have been there Saturday night, guaranteed. And Wednesday night, that's going to be a fun game. Back-to-back Winnipeg.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to miss it.
And it's spaced out, though. It's
tough.
You
can tell Billy to float me the tickets if he wants.
I'll guarantee he's down there. He'll be down there for sure.
No, but I don't want him to be down there. Float the tickets.
Okay. Well, where's Billy going
to
go?
Yeah, he wants to go to the game.
Because Brian's not going, he's got to give up his seat now, too?
Yeah, I guarantee you he'll be down there on Saturday
night. Just a side note, don't you hate when, like, rich people, like, put on social media, do you want the tickets to the game? Like, can you give them to somebody? I hate that.
Well, what do you mean? Hold on a second. They're probably giving them to somebody. They're not charging them, are they?
No, they put on Facebook or Instagram. Hey, like, these people are loaded because they have the season tickets. It's like... what is it called? List price or
face value?
Face value. Like, just give them to somebody that can't go to the game. Do you really need the money?
Well, I'm sure they do that sometimes. I don't know. I can't speak for ticket holders. I'm not one. I don't have season tickets.
I don't.
And they're expensive, man. Like, they're crazy expensive.
Do you think Billy would ever put on Facebook? Is he on Facebook?
Yeah, he's on Facebook. No,
he would he ever say anybody want these? You can.
Well, he doesn't have like 41 pairs of tickets. He splits them with buddies, and he's.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like it's his personal.
And if he couldn't go, he probably trades out with somebody.
Yeah, they do that.
You know, they do that. But
they offer it up, and if people want to buy them, then buy them. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I don't think you give them away unless you're.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you the tanning bed king, the guy behind the bench. If he can't make it, he probably gives them away.
I would think within companies, right? Like, if a company owns a pair and they're asking their employees, like, hey, do you want them? Like, the CEO can't go. Yeah. You have to pay for them. That would be a greasy move.
I think that guy's, like, really rich. I can't remember. He owns, like, a steakhouse.
I think he's,
like...
He's dialed in.
Yeah, really cool guy, too.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I joke about him. He just has an unreal tan.
It's a very unique look right behind the Leaf bench.
Well, it looks like he just flew in from the beach.
Yeah.
Every game. It's awesome.
Mid-January, this guy's got a tan going.
But I guarantee you, he has a house down south, and that's a legit tan. That's not...
It might
He's not getting a spray tan like me in the middle of July.
I would say it's more than likely legit.
Yes.
But it's going to be a fun week for the Leafs because of those two games. And the whole Matthews versus Laine thing has died down a lot.
I think.
Honestly, Laine has not had a good start to the year statistically.
No, he's got three goals.
Not really putting up a ton of numbers. Matthews had a great start. He slowed down. You know, the pendulum swings. I know the way it works, and we lead the charge in a lot of ways. But now you're seeing, are the Leafs complacent? Have the Leafs taken a step back?
What's wrong with the offense?
They had won five in a row. The Pittsburgh game was full credit to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played really well.
They won 1-0.
Exactly, two empty net goals. Saturday was brutal. Like, there's no dancing around. Yeah. The Leafs were awful. Like, that's
ball squad.
And they played a hungry team too. Let's not forget St. Louis has had a terrible start. They were shifting people around. Brian and I were texting back and forth, but you saw Bomeister's first scratch of his career. Like, they were trying to press buttons in that room. And the other thing I'll point out is, and I said this at the start of the year, and I wholeheartedly believe this. The Leafs now, because on paper how they look, they're not going to get any free nights. People are going to get up and jack to play against them, because if you don't, you can be in some serious trouble.
Yeah. Do you think other teams coming into town, they watch SportsCenter, they're like, I'm not going to be the guy that gets embarrassed by these guys.
They have to.
You're going to bear down, and they have to figure out. And they've got an opportunity here with Winnipeg back to back, home and home. To say, you know what? Because apparently all these guys, they're a close-knit team. It's a good group. They want to achieve the ultimate goal. But if they don't learn to play the big boy game, where it's... You got to have it. Like Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews. You could throw in John Tavares, because he was not exactly...
No, he was invisible. That line was invisible.
All the big boys that were doing damage early on, it's like, okay, you're going to win 7-6. That's great. But those games, those two games, you didn't notice any of them. So go ahead and show each other, and don't have a message like a team meeting with the whole team. Meet amongst yourselves and say, guys, let's get serious. We have to be better.
Yeah, and they will be better. Yes. Like, I think it's the perfect time to play Winnipeg.
And it's a great opportunity. That's what you have to look at.
Two big games. The whole league's going to be paying attention. The whole country will certainly be doing that. Wednesday and Saturday night games. You know that's coming.
And you know Babs had the cliches out.
Yes.
Saturday night. He had the
He has to, but one thing I will take away from that game where I will be critical, because it's 82 games. We know this. We're not new to it. They're going to have bad games. Every team's going to have really good games. Every team's going to have really bad games. Somewhere in the middle is where the real team is, and the Leafs are a really good team. They were down, 3-0 in the third, going into the third? 2-0 or 3-0 going into the third.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews played 17 minutes and 30 seconds. They don't play again until Wednesday, and they have two games this week.
Like, don't you want to blow it out and say, here's 22 minutes?
It's ridiculous.
Didn't Connor Brown play the most minutes?
Connor Brown played, I believe it ended up just underneath that, actually. Marner played over 19, I think it was.
Yeah, you're right.
But Paul Lindholm was getting minutes. Like, they scored to make it 3-1, and 30 seconds later, the GOAT was on the ice. It's ridiculous why he just simply will not get away from that. I was watching the Sabres game last night, and I'll tell you what, Buffalo looks good, and they dominated Anaheim last night.
I was going to bring that up.
Back-to-back on the road, Jack Eichel played almost 23 minutes, and he deserved it because he played so well. McDavid's playing 25 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Why Austin Matthews, when you're down 3-0 or 3-1 in the third and you don't play until Wednesday, is still waiting for the goat to get off the ice is ridiculous.
You're right.
It's ridiculous.
I actually thought of that. And
no, you just say the numbers again.
Well, I'm going to go
McDavid
through the numbers.
McDavid plays
for
what?
You.
20?
No, McDavid's plays 23 minutes.
Okay, 23 minutes.
23 to 25.
He can get up to 25
Eichel
minutes.
Eichel back-to-back played what?
Eichel played almost 23 minutes yesterday.
I'll give you the minutes if you want.
Why the hell is this guy playing 17 minutes?
Especially when you're losing. Like,
no
if you're
kidding.
Up 4-0,
and you don't play until Wednesday, blow the doors off and say, go out there every second shift.
Yes. Like, it's just, I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I know it's a long season. This isn't a Kawhi Leonard, like, he only played 9 games back-to-back. This is a thoroughbred, like, Clydesdale. This is a 6'2", 220, 21-year-old.
I don't think Clydesdale is the word you wanted, but...
Thoroughbred.
It's the same thing. They're both horses.
Yes.
The point is, he's a horse. I could have just said horse.
Clydesdale's a little slower. I think like stay-at-home defensemen are called like Clydesdale quarter horses.
He's a filly. I don't care. It doesn't matter. No, you know what?
You're right. It's ridiculous. Thoroughbred Wednesday. Right. What are you holding back for?
I'm watching the third.
They get Freddie the Goat out there to just waste a shift.
Okay, yes. And the Goat's played fine as a fourth liner, but you're down 3-1. You score a goal. There's energy in the building. Goat.
So. Here, I'm just going through Eichel's minutes, just quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, he only played 16 minutes, but he had 3 apples, and that was a blowout of L.A.
They won big.
Yeah, it was an afternoon game. Yesterday, back-to-back, he played 21-26.
Okay, so almost 22 minutes.
So 22 minutes, let's say, on a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a tougher game. You watch the game. Like, Buffalo looks pretty good
right
now.
They look good.
Skinner's coming on. He's got 4 goals in 2 games. I'll go back to Saturday night's game. Let's go through the minutes just for the forwards, just for the sake of argument. Because you're right. I remember thinking the same thing. Why the GOAT, and we love the GOAT, but...
It's just the timing.
When you're at 3-1, you want to double down at that point.
Right.
To maybe roll or double shift or whoever was going. Ultimately, your fourth line isn't the line that's going to get you back into that game at 3-1.
They're just wasting a minute and a half.
So here's the minutes here for Marlowe had 15:34. Where am I at here? Connor Brown, 17:23. Austin Matthews, 17:30. Kadri, 17:33. Tavares, 16:58. Where am I missing? Marner.
Regardless, when you have a situation where you're
Marner
trying to get going
minutes,
in two games, and you have a situation where the lineup is what it is for the Leafs, you want to go too top-heavy and find a third line that can kill a minute,
and that's
how you roll it. What do you want to disperse minutes when
But when you know you're having, Brian says...
You end up getting nothing.
They're not playing till they're playing 2 games. They play Wednesday, Saturday. Saturday, this past Saturday, you can blow it out.
Yes, exactly. It's 3-0. You're going into the third. There's no reason why Matthews didn't play 8 or 9 minutes in the third. I'm being serious.
No kidding.
House league rules. Sorry, dude, you're up. And honestly, go to him before the third and say, you're going out there every second shift.
Yeah.
Bring it. Because he didn't have his greatest game, but I thought he was close to being
created,
on.
He was around it.
He had a ton of shots on that.
8 shot attempts, but he was around it. And may have just broken through.
And it just, you know, I understand Babcock has his ways. In long-term, big picture, I can reason with it. I'm not saying he needs to play 21 minutes a night on average by game 82.
But that's one you could double down on.
But Saturday is one where you can look at it and say, he should play 23 minutes.
But let's...
You don't play again until Wednesday. Why is he not playing?
Okay, so
why is Tavares under 17 minutes?
Let's look at this.
Why?
Yeah, you're not prepping for the playoffs right now.
Okay, Austin Matthews had 20 shifts that night. Let's just say you find him 5 more shifts. There's another 3 minutes right there. Now you're at 20 minutes. Like, to me, I think you can do that. And it's not about making sure that Par Lindholm's feelings are fine.
Who cares about Par Lindholm's feelings?
I understand.
It's the NHL.
I understand that.
I thought Kadri played okay, but he hasn't scored a goal all year. He played more minutes than Austin Matthews.
It's ridiculous.
And you're down 3-0 at one point.
And you saw that early, like where he was trying to get Kadri fired up playing against the Shen line.
Well, and he pushed him. Didn't he push him over to the wing? He was mixing.
No, he did a bunch of stuff. At the end of the day, he brought up the best point. Why is this guy 17 minutes in a game where nothing's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't disagree with that sentiment. Like, that's. And if your big boys are struggling, sometimes. I'll give you an example, having a chat with Jimmy Playfair. He was our coach in Calgary and took over for Daryl Sutter. And I remember having a meeting with him after I had retired, and Jerome wasn't going. And he said it was the weirdest thing, because he goes, you want to bench those guys who aren't going, you're superstars, but he goes, you need them to win. You actually need that guy if you're going to win. So now I know team depth perceptions are a lot different. Maybe in Calgary we're a little thinner than the Leafs forwards. But if Matthews was all around it, if you find him five more shifts, maybe there's another goal in there.
Right.
Or maybe another chance or a penalty or something.
Right, where you can
do something.
You feel like at the very least you walk away saying, we gave ourselves the best opportunity possible.
We had our best players out there and they failed us that night.
Exactly. It didn't happen, and so be it. There's 82 games. We'll move on to the next one. Curtis Joseph's got a new book out. It's called Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life On and Off the Ice. It's in bookstores and online, I believe, this week. He's going to be in studio with us. We're looking forward to that. We saw him up in the alumni box last year. That was great to
Penny
see.
Penny Pesta?
He had his alumni jacket on. He looked very comfortable up there.
Ask him to see if he wears that alumni coat.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of that.
Outside the rink.
Really interesting childhood.
I bet you
childhood.
He had a few spring rolls.
I believe he was indulging in the spring rolls. Maybe even the last spring roll. Who knows?
There wasn't a last.
They're never ending down there.
It had disappeared.
Somehow they disappear. So Cujo's going to be in studio. Ray's coming up just after 5. Marcellus Wiley, a crazy Buffalo Bills stat that was circulating on Twitter today. We'll tell you about that. It's shocking. We'll get to that. There was a trade in the NFL today that obviously has caused a big storm as well, because it includes the Dallas Cowboys and John Gruden's Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, they're not tanking, though.
I think they're officially tanking now. It feels that way anyway. Cujo in studio next. All right, Curtis Joseph will be in studio in about 5 minutes. Raptors in action tonight. Jack Armstrong coming on the show in the 6 p.m. hour. Raps are 3-0. Kawhi Leonard did not play on Saturday night, and they were rolling, and then Washington kind of made it a little bit dicey, but a big win on the road without Kawhi. And a big win on Friday night against Boston, too. That was on national TV in the States. Even though we say it doesn't matter, it matters. I mean, it's early in the season, but that was a very decisive win. And Kawhi's going tonight. And
how long is that going to go on for? Is that because of last year where it's like he hasn't played a year back-to-back?
So you're just resting.
Although I like what they... Obviously, it's an amazing start. And I love hearing the other guys from different teams in the South saying, Toronto's legit. They have a top five player in the league. I love hearing that, because we haven't been able to say that.
It's weird how it works.
Like, but I don't want the, back-to-back. What do you can't...
Well, in sports, like, that's one thing where it's really evolved and it's really changed, and I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse, but there used to be a lot of value placed on being an Ironman and fighting through injury and proving that you're willing to do it. Now it's the opposite. Like, if you stay out of games and then you can stay healthy, they don't hold that against you.
Yeah,
they just say, hey, stayed healthy.
And if you're playing the long game and you're thinking, this team's going to make the playoffs so easily, it's just about positioning, we want this guy ready for the playoffs, then maybe it's a smart
thing. That's the smart move. I'm not saying it's the wrong move. I would do it too. And it's not like Kawhi personally walked into Nick Nurse's office and said, I'm not playing. This is the organization. They're all working in conjunction here. It's a good thing. But... like with basketball, with their stats, they can be very deceiving, because it's all points per game, rebounds per game. So you see some guys who put up numbers and you're like, wow, it's a pretty good stat line. And then it's like, well, he played 35 games.
Yeah.
So what is that worth? Isn't the 82 games with slightly worse stats, that's worth more because they actually played in 82 games as opposed to 35?
You're 100% right. We see it all the time with goalies. A goalie will play 28 games. Scott Darling was brilliant in Chicago, playing 28 games.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him play 60.
Be careful,
right? Stats change.
What does it mean? You can't really extrapolate the way that, like, it's not that easy.
Right.
Well, he played 20, so let's pretend that he played 60, and these are his numbers. No, that's not the way it works.
Right.
No. So, we'll see. Raps in action tonight. Big brawl in the Houston Lakers game over the weekend. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Did you see who got kicked out of the building?
Anthony Kiedis.
Anthony Kiedis.
He was wearing a fake mustache.
It looked like a fake mustache.
I think it was real.
But it was a real mustache. It's a brutal mustache.
Dude, Rondo spit on somebody. That should have been 20 games. You spit on a guy's face.
Well, his excuse was I was wearing a mouth guard, so I didn't mean
bull,
to spit.
You know what? He spit on his face.
I agree that if they determined it was a spit, 3 games is not enough.
No, it's
that's
20.
What he got. Yeah, it should be way more than that.
I
it's such
them
a gutless move.
What did Robbie Alomar get back in the day with that umpire?
Well, that was I don't remember what the suspension was. That was an umpire, and it was like.
And he legit
that was
spit
a, that was a loogie.
Blown
that was,
loogie.
That was a loogie.
That was one of the most gutless maneuvers in the history of sports. We all, like, that's where you know, you're biased. People in Toronto are just like, forget about that. Now, he wasn't a Jay. He was in Baltimore at that point. But that should tarnish
that
your career.
So gutless.
That was absolutely
like you
gutless.
Will never get a strike called for you, or like you spit in an umpire's face.
Right in the guy's face. Like right in his face. No discrepancy. No, sorry, I didn't mean to, or I was wearing a mouth guard. There's no excuse. Yeah.
Sometimes you speak and a little piece of spit comes out.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case.
That's human nature. This was not the case with Robbie Alomar.
I will say the Rondo stuff. People had to super zoom in to see how much
the Zapruder
came
film,
up.
Like, who was sitting...
Still spitting his face.
It was, but it was the Seinfeld. It was the Seinfeld episode.
The second spitter. There was a second spitter. It was LeBron.
It was. It's so true.
Yeah. Curtis Joseph in studio in 2 minutes. This is going to be really cool. The last time I saw Curtis Joseph was up in the alumni box last spring, I think it was, when you and I think it was against the Winnipeg Jets, too. We were in the seats, and we snuck up in between the first and second for some spring rolls and some pesto pasta, and Cujo was up there looking very comfortable, and we can confirm he was wearing his alumni jacket.
Yes.
His book is out. You can find it online. You can find it in stores. The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice, Curtis Joseph in studio. What's up, Cujo?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing well. That you can confirm that, right? You wear the alumni jacket when you're up in the alumni box down at the Scotiabank, or what?
I wear it when they tell me to wear it.
See. Let me ask the first question. Do you ever wear it outside the alumni box or outside the Scotiabank Center? Like, just, you're going to go out for dinner at Jack Astor's tonight. You're going to put on the alumni coat?
I usually look in my closet and go, hey, should I wear my Leaf jersey or should I wear my alumni coat?
What's the better option?
Both great options.
Where am I going to get a free dinner?
See, I tried to explain to these guys, I think, like, some kind of summer cocktail party or, like, a fall cocktail party.
This guy,
I like it. He loves his
you
alumni
fire up
jacket.
The alumni jacket. I think it's a good conversation piece. If you're like at a cocktail, people will be like, oh, what's that? It's like,
you play for the Leafs. You
might as well wear your jersey. It's the same. It's like a step
that
below
is not
your
true.
Contract right here. And
it's a step below it, I think. But I like it. I support it. It's a nice looking jacket.
True.
They did a good job with the jacket. I like wearing it, actually.
Yeah.
It's nice.
See,
but
there
you go. You played for the Flames. If the Flames had one, would you proudly wear that when you went back to the Saddle Dome?
I only played a half a year there. My first home game was in the playoffs. Made a save, and they welcomed me to Calgary.
That's not bad. It could have been worse. Yeah. Could have been a lot worse. You could have let that one in, and then they booed you.
Yeah. That's true. Wow.
So you got the book out, and... You talk a lot about your upbringing, and I wasn't aware of this. I don't know how many people within the hockey world were aware of this, but I think tough is probably the right word to use. Like, how comfortable were you in revealing the details of your childhood, and why did you decide to write about that?
Yeah, good question. I never talked about it ever because I was embarrassed of my childhood as a kid. I didn't know how to deal with it, first of all. As a kid, you're not really equipped to deal with it. I look back and... But, you know, I met Stephanie, you know, 11 years ago, and she's like, oh, I'm so glad where you came from, and tell me about this, and tell me about that. She goes, that's a great story. You got to write a book. And I'm like, oh, okay, Steph, you know, that's great. Glad you love me. But, so anyway, it's hard because I'm a private person. I left that behind. I wanted to make a life for myself, and I wouldn't trade it for the world because that's who it helped me make who I am, you know. And when I met my birth mother, Wendy, that's what I said to her. I said, Wendy, you made the best decision. You know, I was in my 20s. I said, you made the best decision on having me. Thank you very much. You know, I've had a great life. Thanks for having me.
So did she put you up for adoption, or how? Like, do you write about that? How?
Yeah,
that
we write all about it, and I asked her. You know, we'll text back and forth or email, and I asked her to write a chapter in the book, and I didn't hear from for 3 weeks. I didn't hear back from her, and the first line was, "Curtis, this is hard," and so she did. But she goes, "I'll do it. It's a great book. I've talked to Kirstie; she's amazing, and I'll do it." So it was good.
How difficult was it, Cooge, to like track her down or find her or?
So yeah, that's good. I always wondered where I came from. You know, I didn't look like either parent at all, and I knew I was adopted, not officially adopted. And that's another thing in the book is that my last name was Curtis Monroe. So you know, she just handed me off to a nurse who she thought could take care of me, and it was a good decision, you know, to do that because she couldn't. It was the '60s, and she wasn't equipped, and she wanted to give me a better life. And so she and I see in the book when Jan had gone to see her that Wendy didn't give her the okay to remove Monroe as my last name.
Was there ever a situation, and I think you see this in sports sometimes, where you give your kid up for adoption, then all of a sudden you're just looking at somebody on TV making saves, and it's the superstar, and maybe they're a celebrity. Was there ever a situation where somebody wanted to get back in your life, and they're like, "Oh, that's actually my son doing that"?
You know, I give them a lot of credit because when, and you guys can attest to this, when you become an NHL player and you start making money, everybody and their brother come out of the woodwork and ask for money.
Yeah,
at least that was the case that I felt. Wendy or Curtis Nickel never ever asked me for anything. You know, never came out, and I sought out them. So they're good people, and never asked for a dime.
Curtis Joseph in studio. The new book is Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. Can you give us a couple of examples, though, of your childhood? You know, what's detailed in the book, what was so difficult about it, and how difficult that was to actually write and reveal to the world?
Yeah, you know, the more I talked about it, the easier it got, and I do... you know, kinsmen dinners in Saskatchewan, and I just speak to kids or junior teams about my childhood and about how I got to the NHL. It was not a regular route, and people would come up to me with great response. You can go, "Well, that was a great story. You should write a book." You know, or I was adopted, so I became more comfortable. But some of it was hard writing. Some of the things about growing up. You know, it was food. There wasn't really any food in the house, and the mother wasn't present, you know, at all. And you know, you could tell I wasn't their kid because there was no parenting or love or affection. I never got hugged as a kid, obviously, but they never went to the practices or games. They never saw one practice or game. There was always a community person that picked me up, a coach or somebody, and I'd always have my hockey bag ready, and the equipment came from the association. I'd go in above the Zamboni and grab all the, you know, single A up until major midget. So those kinds of things, and I slept on a mattress, you know, with you know, the cats would urinate or pee on it or whatever, you know. And one of the biggest things too was I'd never have anybody over to my house because I grew up in a house that was for 20 mentally ill patients, like the insanity. So, you know, you don't really reveal that to your friends. "Hey, you want to come over? By the way, you know, don't talk to this guy and stay away from that guy."
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
And you started hockey, I believe, at 9, right?
Yeah, 9 or 10, probably.
Yeah, that's you know, another thing. You always hear stories of guys. I started when I was 4 or 5, and you started a little bit later and got that opportunity and jumped right into it, kind of hit the ground running. Like when you were, you know, growing up, I don't want to keep hammering it down, but was there ever a time in that house where you felt a little bit scared? Based on the people that were in it.
And my bedroom was on the men's side, so I had to have a lock on my little hook lock.
Yeah.
And there's one guy in particular, Wellington. He was a flasher, and you know, I had to go downstairs and get potatoes. And I always, you know, head on a swivel, made sure I knew where he was and when I was going down there. And you know, he had cornered me a few times, but nothing ever became of it. That's the only time I ever saw Harold Joseph mad. He was a gentle human being, but he, you know, he threatened him within his life, which was good. But Yeah, that's why I became a goalie, because I couldn't skate.
Yeah.
You know, they put me in net. It was house league. Actually, in King City, I was on the green team. And we had, there was like a couple games left, and we ended up winning the little round robin.
Yeah. The King City, we used to win every tournament. Oh,
yeah. King City was good. It was a good place.
Yes, it was, buddy.
The book is Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice, Curtis Joseph in studio. So at what point, considering that upbringing, did you start thinking, you know what, I can make it somewhere, even if it's not even the NHL. I can go to college or I can go to junior. Like, at what point did that dawn on you?
There was never a thought of making the NHL. There was no way. Those guys were in another level. I knew there was AAA in the city somewhere, and those guys were like the NHL to me. Playing single A in East Gwillimbury, you know, up to 17. My goal, as I got older and I started playing junior A, I thought, you know, I can get a scholarship. That's my goal. Like, I think I can get one. And so it took me till I was an overage. In junior, I went out to Notre Dame, Saskatchewan, and finally got a scholarship and paid for it. And I was like, oh, I made it.
Right.
You know, that was the how I was going to pay for school and how I was going to get an education. So that was the goal for me.
In terms of following the NHL, did you have a chance to do that? I mean, were you watching Leaf games? Were you listening to it on the radio? I mean, what was...
So my first game, a friend of mine took me. I was 17 or 18. I just dislocated my shoulder, I remember, and it was killing me. But I see Wendell now, and I go, hey, Wendell, you scored 4 goals twice in your career. First time I was watching you do it against Darren Puppa, and the next was against me. I go, I was there. I was present for both. I'm your good luck charm.
I was in the building. That was you and Edmonton for those 4 goals. Yeah. That was at the Gardens, wasn't it?
I believe so. I try and forget stuff that, you know.
Yeah. Right.
You try and bury that stuff.
So did you have a connection to the Maple Leafs? Or, you know, when you signed here, obviously it's, you know, it was an amazing signing for the Leafs. But in terms of your connection with the area and all that?
Yeah, it was the Rick Vive days and, you know, Mike Palmateer. So I always loved watching Mike Palmateer. And I remember, you know, playing against Buffalo and here comes Rick Vive down the wing. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's got an amazing slap shot. I've seen this a million times. So I would rush out of the net and he fired one, hit me in the high chest, and he slid into me and he goes, yeah, all right, kid. And I'm like, yeah, Mr. Vive, we're good. So I was telling that story.
Any good Pat Quinn stories? I'm sure we could sit and O-Dog loves to. We all. Pat Quinn was a friend of our show. We loved him so many, and we talked about him so many times on this show. I mean, anything stand out for you as far as
besides the Olympics?
Well,
oh yeah, no, we do touch on everything, and we talk about Pat a lot because we talk about the Leafs and my days with the Leafs, and you know, there's some funny things that you know, Pat would mispronounce guys' names in the league, you know, like...
he called Roberto Luongo Luigi. He's like, Luigi, you're starting in the Olympics.
And this Kovalov guy, man, you got to watch for him. And I'd be turned to heels and go, hey, did they get a new guy? Kovalov. And then he dropped the lid on the marker, and it would be on the ground, and we'd all be like, all our eyes would open up, and we're like, and he would do the teapot. And to get it, we'd all be like, you know, making bets on whether he's going to get it or not.
Is he getting back up?
That. But I love Pat. He's an amazing human being, as you said, Noodles. Yeah. Great guy. But, yeah, there's lots of Pat stories in there.
The book is Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. He is Curtis Joseph. We always appreciate you joining us. And this book, it sounds great. I think you're doing a great job of promoting it. The stories, I wasn't aware of them. Looking forward to reading it. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
And thanks for finding some time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. As always, guys, thank you.
You got
thanks,
it.
Cujo.
There's Curtis Joseph joining us in studio. Again, the book, one more time, Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. It'll be in stores and, of course, online wherever you buy books. Ray's coming up just after 5. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30. Ray's coming up in the next hour. Marcellus Wiley, we've got a crazy Bills stat, we'll tell you. And there was a trade in the NFL today. World Series game 1 tomorrow. We're starting to tee that up. The Raps in action tonight. We'll get to that as well. And back into the Leafs week ahead. 2 games against Winnipeg. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.